Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and has been with us now since January of 1999, over 11 years. She's been a member of our Brain Trust, and she's here to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Glad to be back.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
One of the things that's going on right now is there's an overhaul of financial regulations going on. There's a the Christopher Dodd. Who else is working on this? Barney Frank in the House, Dodd in the Senate, right? Those two guys?
Yes.
Those two stalwarts of conformity to financial regulations, right?
Absolutely.
You like the way I speak sarcasm as a second language, don't you, John?
Oh, it's just dripping.
The only thing more appealing than my sarcasm is the sardonic behavior of John.
Jim, so many things about you are appealing, I can't even
I know, I know, I can see that. I get that all the time.
I know.
So these two bastions of financial conformance, Dodd and Frank, are pushing financial regulation and you guys say it's a pretty darn good bet they're going to get it.
We think so.
Tell us about that.
Well, we also think that it's going to be – now, of course, this isn't saying much. We say it's going to be easier to pass this than health care. Well, I think it would be easier to pass just about anything
than health care. It'd be easier to have triplets than health care.
Right. It would be easier for you to have triplets.
That's easy for me to say, right?
Right. There's really kind of – they're trying to pick up on voter anger at Wall Street and the financial industry.
It's also a canard. It's also a diversionary tactic, Joan.
Sure.
If they can throw out this indignation, this righteous indignation at the financial industry, we're going to fix this. We're going to protect you Americans from these bad guys, these fat cats. It diverts all the attention away from Dodd and Frank's incompetence and potential and actually somewhat documented malfeasance.
Now, are you saying that they shouldn't be passing anything?
I'm saying that I can't. I am completely skeptical of their motives. I believe they're nothing more than a way of diverting attention away from the culpability of Washington in this financial problem.
Well, Jim, I don't think you're being clear about how you really feel.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm becoming more and more disgusted with the political class.
Right.
And in that organizational chart, you know, the top two or three people include Christopher Dodd and Barney Frank.
Right. And interestingly, Christopher Dodd.
I think that's a community. I think that's a pretty large community I'm part of right there, John.
Now, Chris Dodd is, if I'm not mistaken, he is not running for re-election. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
But he's at the point now where he's going to want to make his mark. You know, he's going to want this called the Dodd Financial Regulation Law. You see where I'm going.
It's called legacy.
Yeah, it's called legacy. That's what he wants. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying I think that's a lot of the motivation here.
He's trying to redeem himself, isn't he?
Yeah.
When you hear me saying something like Christopher Dodd's trying to redeem himself, you should be afraid, America's very afraid. Because when politicians do those kinds of things, they're not making decisions. They're not proposing things that are going to have good long-term implications for regular folks.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
And so, and remember, Barney Frank is the guy, Joan, that in July of 2008 said that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were still solid, and he felt that they were still good investments. Good money, good places for investors to put their money. And what happened less than 3 months later?
They tanked.
And they were taken over by the government.
They were, yeah.
Yeah. So these are the geniuses that we have in charge of this financial overhaul situation. Joan, And again, I have, you know, my reason for being so indignant, being so vocal about this, is this line right in the middle of the page about who this is going to affect.
Oh, it will affect almost all Americans. Now, we say providing safeguards for consumer and business loans.
But Joan, I think you should scratch the almost. If I'd been editing your letter, I would have scratched almost.
Okay.
It's going to affect every American.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I mean, directly, or I can't imagine it not affecting everybody directly.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but here are some of the issues that they're going to work on. You say 90% of the measures are already settled, and that's about consumer protections, right?
Yes.
And what do those involve?
Well, a new watchdog agency, which I thought had been controversial, but I guess isn't anymore, because, you know, we have a lot of financial regulation agencies already, so this is going to add another one.
That's all we need is more oversight, more government employees.
Now, this one will police financial products and require better disclosure of risks and block, I guess, any products that could, you know, expected to cause trouble. Now, you know, what's interesting to me here is what you just described, or what I just described, sounds to me like what the SEC should be doing.
Exactly. And they're already, and the Fed's doing it. See, here's the thing people don't understand. There are banks issue these financial products.
Right.
And there are already layer upon layer upon layer of regulatory agencies already in place. Now, if they need some new little adjustment to a law, an addition, a plan B or something, that needs to be added on and given to a new wrinkle to an existing entity, maybe that makes sense. If there's one thing that credit card companies are able to do that is a little bit predatory, then fix that. But creating this whole new overlaying of regulations, the bankers that I know, Joan, are against this. They don't like this. This is another. And this is why I mean when I say it's going to affect everybody, because everybody does banking. Virtually everybody has some kind of credit instrument, a credit card, a debit card, something like that, right?
Right.
More and more people are doing online banking.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to affect everybody.
Sure.
And all it's going to do is make it harder for your bank to do business with you. And when that happens, it's going to cost them more money.
Yeah.
And we all know it's just like corporate taxes. Corporations don't pay taxes or expenses. Their customers do.
That's right.
And so that's what we're talking about here, folks. So gird your loins. We got we got politicians running amok up there on the financial industry. And we'll be right back 20 after. Joan Pride is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. The late great James Brown, ladies and gentlemen, the godfather of soul, putting a little funk into our lives today. Little soul, 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're rocking and rolling here with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And we built it so you could have some information there that you can read, listen to, ask questions, lots of stuff. You can comment if you want. You can, anything you see there, you read an article or a blog post or anything like that, you're welcome to leave your thoughts and let other people see what you have to say. Lots of stuff there on smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, you can do that. I'm at Jim Blasingame. Oh, by the way, when you're on my website, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Joan and I are talking about the financial regulations, the overhaul of the financial regulations that they're working on right now. And Joan, we mentioned consumer protection a minute ago. And this is, there probably is some predatory stuff that some of the credit card companies were doing that probably need to be adjusted a little bit. But another thing is something that I think our government is probably not qualified to do, Joan, and they ought to be, but I fear that they're not. And that's systemic risk. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? I mean,
systemic risk.
Yeah. The Systemic Risk Council.
Yeah.
Tell us what you guys are working on there.
Well, this new law is going to bring together existing, or the law that's going to be passed will bring together existing regulators in a council. So, in other words, you wouldn't, I'm assuming, you wouldn't have all the different agencies working at cross purposes.
Right.
I think the idea is for them to try to be on the same page and work together.
But the question, Joan, and this gets into a little bit about down here, regulating the derivatives, the hedge funds, the credit rating agencies, et cetera, insurers. The question that I have is, I'm going to be watching very closely to see how this commission addresses these, because I don't know that they really that they'll be able to really get at the heart of the problems.
Yeah.
And I fear that their solutions, see, the government has this tendency, Joan, instead of being part of the solution, actually be part of the problem.
Yeah.
They tend to be punitive in their solutions rather than productive.
Mm-hmm.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And they tend to, you know, and so I don't, I just covered, in the previous hour, I covered a book again called The Quants by Scott Patterson. And he was talking about the technical innovations that some investors are capable of making that basically are the reasons why we got ourselves in, we got into this problem.
Mm-hmm.
The leveraging and re-leveraging of credit default swaps, that sort
right.
of thing. And I don't know that our government is capable of I don't even know if they're addressing that. I'm going to be interested to see if they're even addressing those things.
Yeah.
One of the things, Joan, you pointed out, the credit rating agencies, they don't have a lot of credibility these days, do they?
Boy, you know, and they used to be considered the gold standard.
Exactly.
But they've gone through a lot of, I guess the word scandal may be too serious, but there's been a lot of problems with them.
Because they were holding out high credit evaluations of entities that were not worthy of those. They'd issue an opinion like, I mean, I don't know exactly, but let's just say
AAA
it happened.
AAA ratings, say.
And yeah, that was still in place when the company collapsed.
Right.
So that is something that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. But what I'm concerned about, Joan, about this, and you guys, by the way, you guys point out, this is going to be passed this summer. But you also say it'll take years to implement. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned that I'm concerned it's going to turn out to be like Sarbanes-Oxley. You know, Sarbanes-Oxley was a reaction to Enron, WorldCom, Tyco, Adelphia. It was a reaction to those.
Right.
They passed it in about 60 days.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were doing. And it was all for the one purpose and one purpose only. And that was to make the American people think that Washington is on the job.
Right.
Oh, we're taking care of it. And that's what they said. I mean, Joan, yeah. You remember.
Sure.
All the indignation and the blustering and you can just see them up there. You know, oh, we are on the job. We were going to fix this. Well, they didn't fix it at all.
Yeah.
If they'd fixed it, Joan, we wouldn't have some of the stuff we've got right now.
Right.
And that's what concerns me. And when I hear, and here's another thing, Joan, isn't it ironic that Sarbanes-Oxley demanded more transparency from the corporations, right?
Right.
But then when the healthcare bill passed and the corporations determined that the passage and the execution of the healthcare bill was going to put them in a financial deficit with regard to, you know, to future obligations, mm-hmm. and the companies chose to announce write-downs, they got called on the carpet.
Right.
Without any sense of irony, Joan, Waxman is calling AT&T and these other companies on the carpet.
Right.
So that's why, Joan, that our government in these issues especially have no credibility with me. They're amateurs. They're hacks. And I fear that nothing productive will come from this commission. And that's Jim Blassingame's opinion. 29 after, we're going to come back, talk about the economy with Joan Pride.
Nationwide.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Nationwide.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the Kiplinger Letter, as we do every week about this time, what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, over on page 2, businesses are sitting on a cash trove, $2.8 trillion for non-financial firms. Now, Joan, I have to tell you, that all but maybe 0.1% of that is in major corporations.
I would think so, yeah. We're talking about commercial paper here, and that's not what small businesses deal in.
No, that's exactly right. And we are, as you know, Blassingame's first law of small business states that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Right, right.
It's just, you just say small business.
Yeah.
It's understood.
Exactly.
Even, and here's why, Joan, because even businesses, there's never a time when a small business, they may have cash, but that's just cash they haven't spent.
Yeah.
Because a small business is like a teenager. Mm-hmm. It can never have enough money. It's always demanding more. There's always somewhere to put your money. And so when we talk about corporations, businesses sitting on a cash trove, it's true, Joan. I mean, these major corporations are hoarding cash like crazy. And that's one of the things, Joan, that makes me a little bit hopeful about some kind of a significant upturn. If these companies ever decide that it's time to invest again, the floodgates will open.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be ready to. I'm going to be standing by, ready to catch my share of that.
I would hope so.
By the way, but you guys say, you tell us. And by the way, you say it's 15% of their total financial assets. Joan, 15% of their assets are cash. That's. I don't know if that's got to be unprecedented,
paper.
Joan.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, we say it's over and above the 20-year average cash percentage.
Yeah.
It's the highest cash share in 23 years, and the highest ever if financial companies are included in the tally.
So it is unprecedented, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But talk to us about the dry powder part. The dry powder.
The dry powder part.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They're keeping their powder dry, and assuming they ever actually use this money, that could really get the economy moving in a big way.
But, Joan, the fact that they consider the need for powder to be dry. The fact that they're saying, I'm trusting in God, but I'm keeping my
powder dry. They're still sitting on the sidelines.
I trust in God, but I'm tying my camel anyway.
Right, right.
You know, the fact that they're saying that, that's a cautionary tale for small businesses.
Right.
We need to realize that these guys are global companies. They see what's going on. They're plugged into geopolitics.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with the financial world at the highest levels. If they're hoarding, folks, there are times, you've heard me say many times before, that we need to, that big companies could learn an awful lot from us, but there are also times when we need to learn a lot from them. We need to pay attention to what they're doing.
Yep.
Joan, this is one of those times.
Sure is.
And small business owners, I'm not telling you not to do what you do best, which is take risks, but I'm telling you, don't get too far out on the leading edge. I'm still telling you that. I've been saying this for 18 months. Don't get on the leading edge so far that you wind up flopping over into the bleeding edge.
Yeah.
That's where the cash gets sucked out of your company.
Right.
Growing business confidence. That's what we need, right, Joan?
Yep. That's what we're waiting for.
If that happens, then, as I said a minute ago, it'll be released.
Yeah.
What is this question mark, a job shortage? Why is that even part of our discussion today, Joan?
Because we're talking about federal jobs.
Ah, there's no job shortage in the federal jobs, are there?
No, sir.
There's a job shortage in the marketplace.
Right.
But the growth industry for America today is government, isn't it?
Sure looks that way.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. We got another.
I figured we would.
We got that coming up a little bit later on. All right, we got one more. Got one more segment, and then we're going to have a finale segment, a big finale segment coming up a little bit later on. When Joan and I come back, we're going to talk about Labor Relations Board. What's that new guy? I'm trying to think of the new guy that the president, I'll find his name, the president nominated a recess appointment. That's it, yeah. And we'll talk about that and some energy and other stuff after these messages. Twin Tail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.